Well, the name badge says Paula, but I do believe your name is Paul. Am I right?
That's right. I wish I could help the gender balance here, but unfortunately, I've not been able to. But they've tried on the name tag.
So, your job title: Director of Communications at the BBC.
That's right. Responsible for all communications inside and outside the BBC, talking about the BBC. Includes programme publicity, to handling Jeremy Clarkson, to dealing with news to staff about job reductions and changes in working practices.
I won't ask you how you handle Jeremy Clarkson. Maybe give him, I was going to say a pay cut, but...
Let's just say sensitively.
Fair enough. Your presentation was... I mean, I love presentations that don't have any bullet points for starters, but no words. Have any ever seen another BBC type, Bill Thompson, pull that off?
Well, the trouble, I mean, it's just a presentation issue. I wanted to create a dialogue. I wanted to talk to people, and I think if you have words on a slide, I mean, personally, I hate PowerPoint, but if you have words on a slide, people look at it. I wanted to get people thinking and hope that what I said got people thinking.
Definitely, especially when you're talking about a lot of memes that are flying around at the moment amongst a lot of the early adopters when it comes to technology and communications. The storytelling aspect featured heavily, and I was taken back to my childhood with a Jack and Ori slide going up there. What's your role here today, in particularly here with the Open University?
Well, I mean, I've got multiple roles. I mean, one of my roles is an associate lecturer at the Open University, and I've been involved with the Open University and the Business School for some time. I was on the international board, advisory board of the Open University. But my role here today is just to sort of spark some thought about how you might communicate, how you might reach out to the people you need to reach out to in order to make the Open University a success. And what I was really trying to say is that it's very easy to lapse into a sense of, not complacency, but a sense of comfort that the Open University is loved, it's cherished, and therefore it's fine. Well, unfortunately, there's lots of loved institutions that have faded into the past or had crises. And what you need to do is think about the problems that some of those words that are so core to the Open University create. For example, open. Being open means anybody can get in, which is great for the people who want to get in. But once people are in and they've got a qualification, they don't like the idea that perhaps their qualification is undermined. Some people will see it as being cheaper. And we've got to get some very difficult messages across about quality, value, and the increase in skills that the Open University can create without letting those negative ideas come through.
The Open University has been seen a little bit of as a rebel by a lot of the powers that be since its original inception over 40 years ago. You have to work very close relationship with the government as such. How much moving room to be really, really innovative do you think the Open University has?
I think it's got loads of room, and I think there's a conflict there. There's a conflict between the Open University seeing itself as a respected institution, which is part of the fabric, the establishment, versus being a rebel. I'd like to see the Open University being much more of a rebel, and that doesn't mean sort of putting a whole pile of tents outside Walton Hall and getting the Chancellor to sleep inside them. It means actually standing up and saying things, being prepared to challenge, being prepared to criticise, coming out with really constructive comments that will underline the value of the Open University to British society. And not just British society, I mean the whole of European society.
And of course, they've always had a quite an open dialogue with their participants, with their clients, with the students that utilise the Open University's services. And maybe now is the time to stand up and shake the status quo a little bit and say, look, there are issues, serious issues, with further education worldwide at the moment. Maybe now is the time to... Well, it sounds like the conversations are talking a lot about tailor-making things to exactly what the students want.
Yeah, but I also think that one of the things that the Open University doesn't make enough of is the voice of the student. And I'm not talking about the voice of the student being in accepting or welcoming or praising the Open University's teaching style. It's about the fact that the Open University has such loyalty from students. And that's a tremendously representative body. If you look at the number of managers that have been created through MBA, or managers that have got MBAs with the Open University, it's a huge number. So if you simply go out to them and say, what's going on in business? That is a representative sample. And you start to get a level of authority coming through. You start to get the Open University being the place to come, not just to talk about distance education, not just to talk about part-time education, but talk about the really big things that are going on. I mean, in a small way, think about the Mars narrative that came out of the Open University. People were coming to the Open University not to find out about the Open University. They're coming to find out about space, about exploration. And really, the Open University should be doing that in practically every field. It should be getting its expertise recognised, and the expertise not just of its academics, but also its students.
Fantastic. How is the two-way dialogue working with the BBC? How much do you listen to the BBC's viewers?
We have a massive dialogue. First of all, we have we survey, we check, we review, and we measure ourselves on the level of appreciation, on the level of reach, because as a public sector broadcaster, we are charged with being universal. But also we listen carefully. We listen to complaints. We listen to comments. We get a huge number of comments. The BBC has a reputation for, people will pick up the phone, write a letter, send an email, tweet. Social media has just, of course, created an explosion of comments about the BBC. I mean, interestingly, a couple of months ago, we were talking about what we could do to express the value of the BBC, and totally unbeknownst to us, a hashtag was created called Proud of the BBC and went everywhere, went viral, and then Mitch Benn did a song about it. And, before you know, you've got this campaign, and we were going, wow, this is amazing. So we listen intently. We understand both around the programmes we produce, around everything. And then we have, of course, the trust, which represents the licence fee payer and listens intensely to the licence fee payer. Then you have bodies like the Voice of the Viewer and Listener. And so, again, we listen all the time, and that gets fed back into the BBC.
Brilliant. So I could pitch you right now a programme that's just popped into my head. I'm Jeremy Clarkson, Get Me Out of Here, where we can crowdsource possible suggestions of the size of the box and what we put in there with him.
I'd have to pass you on to the commissioning editors.
Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Great stuff. Thanks. Cheers.